Land.
And we're holding on Chof Aleph, Amud Aleph, fourth line, third line. Simon Chorash Chovash Zman, which is a simon for the names of Amoroyim who are going to be pointing out now. Chorash, for example, Rav Acha, Breda Rava, Rav Ashi, and so forth. The other ones. The Gemara, of course, does that kind of thing all over the place, gives simonim. There is actually an interesting thing. There's a sefer called Lamnatseach LeDavid by Rav David Powder, one of the great Sfardish Achronim. He's a Rav in various places, in Turkey and Sarajevo, and I forget where else. Anyway, he has an appendix to a sefer of his called Lamnatseach LeDavid, where he discusses the deeper meaning behind these simonim. So he says this one, his girsa actually, the second word is chosam, is not chorash chosam's man. Anyway, he says it means the wise man concealed the time, and it refers to the time of when Mashiach is going to come, that the Gemara is hinting at that over here in connection with this matter of Geula, which is what we've been talking about. So we've been talking about the question of whether an Eved Ivri can buy his freedom by halves. Can he? We know that he can buy his freedom. We talked about the other day, Girin Kesef, that we figure out how many years are there left for him to work, and he pays the appropriate amount. Can he pay half of that, and then that'll shorten his term by X number of years? And then the related question, can he do that by Bote Orei Choyma, when you sell a house in a walled city where the Torah tells us you have 1 year to buy it back, and if not, then you lose it forever. You don't even get it back in Yovel. By the same token, could you buy it back l'chatzoyim? Could you buy it back by halves? So we said, as far as the Eved Ivri, Rav Sheshes had said that no, you can't, based on a pasuk. Abaye actually said, if you want to say that yes, then it could come out a kula and a chumra. The Rambam ends up paskening that when he's sold to a yid, he can't do that, but when he's sold to a goy, he could. But the continuation of the Gemara over here is going to be on the assumption that he can't. So we'd have to say that that's referring, according to the Rambam, when he's sold to a yid. And as far as the house, we said, on the other hand, Rav Sheshes said that based on Rav Shimon's opinion, you could. Because since the Torah makes things harder for him in that he only has a year to buy it back, therefore to balance things out, the Torah wants to make things easier for him, by allowing him to borrow money for the purpose or to redeem only half of it. And that way, at least he doesn't lose the entire house come once the year is up. So in that connection, We mentioned a kavah choyma. We mentioned, why does the pasuk need to tell us this? You would have thought, on the one hand, you could say Reb Shimon's point that since a house in a walled city, you have only 1 year to buy it back. Therefore, the Torah wants to make it easier for you to do it during that 1 year, as compared to Sdei Achuzah, a field that you inherited from your ancestors, where there, if you don't buy it back, then you'll get it back in Yovel. So therefore, the Torah is more stringent on you and saying, well, you need to have your own money and you need to buy the whole thing. Because after all, fine, you'll be able to get it back in Yovel anyway. In this connection, though, we mentioned a possible kavah chomer. We would have thought on the contrary. Because a moichos Sdei Achuzah, when he sells this ancestral property, and still he has the weaker part that it has to be his own money, not money that he borrowed, and he can't do half of it, how much more so, we should say, actually, by a different case, where he's makdish a field, where he's makdish such a field, to hekdish, where there, we should say, the fact is, if he doesn't buy it back by Yovel, he's not ever getting it back, it's going to the Kohenim. Maybe on the contrary, maybe things should be harsher on him, maybe there should be a kavah chomer, that things should be harsher on him, and he can't be loiv of a goy of a goy l'chatzoyin, and therefore we had a pasuk that says that not. So now, Omalei Rav Acha Brei De Rava, L'Rav Ashi Ikal Mifrach. Now, with all of what we just said, you have this kavah chomer, but you could conceivably slog it up. You're saying, again, the kavah chomer goes that you say you're making a kavah chomer between selling a house in a walled city where you're not gonna ever get it back, versus when you makdish a field to hekdish, where you have until Yovel to buy it back, But if not, then you're not getting it back. So both of them, you're not getting back in Yovel. But the difference is that one of them you have only a year, and the other one you have two Yovel. So the Amalei of Achabre, the Rav of Rashi, and the Chafal of Amar Aleph, Ikal of Mifrach. So now you can slog up that Kavachomer. Precisely because he has the weaker possibility. He can't redeem it forever. He only has 1 year to redeem it. So therefore, you should say maybe because of that. Maybe because of that, you would say that because of that, you would say that when it comes to Bati Arifayma, maybe also you can't borrow money to redeem it. It has to be your own money. How do you compare that to when he's Makdish a field, where at least he does have until Yovel? If the Gizbar sells it to somebody else in between, then no. But if the Gizbar hasn't sold it, then he has until Yovel to buy it back. So that would break down the Kavachoma. So in other words, again, the Kavachoma was that we were trying to say that we would think based on that kavachomer that maybe in fact you shouldn't be able to be loiv of a goyel, or you shouldn't be able to be goyel l'chatzoyin to buy half of it back. And the answer is the pasuk tells us otherwise. But Rav Acha Brei de Rava is saying, how would the kavachomer work anyway? You could slog up that kavachomer. So Rav Acha Sova responds and says to Rav Ashi, Mishum de ikol meimah neheder dina tesu b'matzad. The reason is, you're arguing, shlug up the kavachomer, but instead you have a matzad. There are three different cases that we're dealing with in the Gemara over here. We have a case where a person sells a house in a walled city, where he has 1 year to buy it back, and if he doesn't, then he loses it forever. You have the case of where he sells a Sdei Achuzah to somebody else, where there he can't buy it back during the first 2 years, but afterwards he can buy it back anytime he wants, and if he doesn't buy it back by Yovel, he gets it back. And then we have Makdish Sdei Achuzah, which is where he's Makdish, where he donates the Sdei Achuzah to Hekdish, where he can buy it back anytime, but if he doesn't buy it back from Yovel, or in between, it was sold to somebody else, then he's never getting it back. So now we can make a mahatzad, we can make a tzad ashoga between these things. You would argue, if you want to try to prove, again, we're trying to prove what would happen when you're makdish a sdei achuza, when you're able to, whether you're able to borrow money to redeem it, or whether it has to be your own money, or whether you can buy half of it back from hekdish, so you can make a tzada shoga and figure like this. Start by proving from the case where he sells the sdei achuza, he has strong power in that he can always redeem it. There's no deadline by which he has to redeem it. And we say, on the other hand, there's a stringency on him. We don't allow him to borrow money in order to buy it back. We don't allow him to buy it back by halves. It's an all or nothing thing, and it has to be his own money. If he comes with borrowed money, or he comes with only half of it, the other guy can say, I'm not obligated to sell it back to you. So you would try to prove from that to the case where he's makdish the field, but you would say malo mochus de achuzah shekin hura kechel go miyad. On the other hand, you could argue that when he sells the sde achuzah, he has a weaker power because he can't buy it back right away. The Torah tells us he has to wait a minimum of 2 years before he can buy it back. Well, then you would say mochabais bati orichay meichiyah. Then try to prove from the case where somebody sells a house in a walled city where he is able to buy it back right away. There's no 2 year waiting period. So, and if you're going to say, on the other hand, when he sells a house in Bati Arichayma, he only has 1 year to buy it back, then you would say, on the other hand, consider where he sells a Sdei Achuzah, where he could buy it back indefinitely. So therefore, b'chazer adin, so you would go back and forth, lo re'izeh kirizeh, each one has a feature that the other one doesn't have, hatzada shavah shemehen, what do they both have in common, shenig olin, that they can both be redeemed, the ein loiv of a goy of a goy l'chatzoyin, but in both cases, whether you sell a sdei achuzah, or whether you're selling a house in a walled city, we would say that you can't borrow money to redeem it, and you can't redeem it by halves. Afani ovi makdish. Then, based on that, you would have thought to bring in also to learn from that Sadashava to the case where he's makdish a field, same thing, Shenigal, it can be redeemed, but in loiv of a goyal of a goyal hatzayin. So therefore, so we would have learned that, and therefore we need a pasuk that tells us that it's not so, by makdish is different, since it says in goyal yigal, then we said that he could be loiv of a goyal and he could be goyal hatzayin. So not because of a kavachomer per se, but more because, not because of a kavachomer from a single one of these, between these three things, but rather a tzad hashava between two of them. However, omalei Rav Zutra bred the Ramari Laravina, ikal mifrach, you still could slog up the kavachomer. Mala tzad hashava shebehen shekin hurak koichem ligoro b'shana shnia. Both them do have this in common. You can't redeem them in the second year after you sold them. A house in Bat Yarechoyma, you have only 1 year and then it's gone. A Sdeya Chuzah, you have to wait 2 years before you can buy it back. So yes, it's true. One of them has a deadline, the other one doesn't. And one of them goes back to you in Yovel and the other one doesn't. On the other hand, when it comes to the second year, they do have that in common, that you can't buy it back in the second year regardless. So how could you apply that to a makdish where he could buy it back in the second year? So you could argue, in other words, that to begin with, you don't have a basis for saying that you shouldn't be able to be loiv of a goyel or goyel hatzoyin to borrow money or to buy or to do it by halves for the sdeachosa. For when you makdish a sdeachosa. So we're back to the question, why did the braisa previously need to bring a pasuk that you could do that when logic would tell you that you could do? If you try to make a kavachomer from any of the other two things that we said, selling a house in Bate Orechomer or selling your sdeachosa, then you'll say they have this in common that you can't buy them in the second year, so maybe that's why the Torah is machmer on you. How would that apply to a makdish where you don't have that factor? So Amalei Ravina. So Ravina answers, Mishum de Iklamema Evid Ivri Animka Lo Evid Yechavim Yechiyach. Because if you tried to do that, you would also say, on the other hand, prove from the case of an Evid Ivri who sold to a goy. She Yofa Kocha Ligol B'Shana Shmiya. He also has a strong power as far as that second year. He can buy his freedom from the goy any time. There's no limit on when. There's no limit on when he's able to buy his freedom. And yet Rav Sheshes was telling us before that he can't be loiv of a goyel, he can't, because the pasuk says umotze yodoy. Siga yodoy actually is the question, is the point, which means that he earns the money, so that he earns it, he doesn't borrow it, and ain goyel hatzoyim, and he can't be goyel hatzoyim. That Rav Sheshes had said before on Chofam Abayz, he had learned from the word benigal, which implies that completely he has to be redeemed not only by halves. So now taking all of that together, therefore, you would have said that the same thing. So now you have three things that you can make a tzad hashava between: selling a sdeachosa, selling a house in a walled city, an eved ivri sold to a goy. All of them, you have the rule that ain loiv of a goyel and ain goyel hatzoyin. So you would have thought the same thing is true when you makdish your field, and therefore the Torah specifically has to tell you not so. Because that's an exception, because the Torah says being goel yigal, the double expression means that the Torah is giving you an extra break and saying that you're that when it comes to when you makdish your field, that you are able to borrow the money to redeem it from hekdish so that it doesn't end up going to the kohenim, and you are able to buy half of it back at a time. Tosfos also points out, on the other hand, that the question is, by the Sidei Achuza, the Torah uses the expression umotze kedei geulasei, which means that he needs the entire amount for his geula, and there we said ain a goyel hatzoyin, based on what we're saying over here, why don't we make a kavachomer from an eved ivri? And Tosfos points out that after all, a makdish does have a weaker power in one way, in the sense that he never gets back his field and gets divided among the kohenim by yovel. So again, if you tried to make a kavachomer like that, you could have an opposing kavachomer, and therefore now you need, by the makdish, or by the Moicher, when he sells the Sveachuzah, you need a pasuk to tell you that that Umasu Motza Kadei Golosi, he actually finds the money, he actually earns or finds whatever the money that he's going to buy it back with, rather than borrowing it. Another point over here actually is that the Rosh makes a point that it's not just when we're saying that you can prove from an Eved Ivri who's sold to a Goy, you can make the same proof from an Eved Ivri who's sold to a Yid, but the Gemara wants as much as possible to try to make a limud from one thing involving Karka to another thing involving Karka. Now, according to the Rambam, that there's a difference in this regard between a Yid and a Goy, between whether he's sold to a Yid or to a Goy, where when he's sold to a Yid, you can only buy him back you have to buy him back the whole thing. He can't buy his freedom piecemeal, but when it comes to a Goy, he could. Then, according to him, you would have to necessarily say that in the end, really, the valid proof would be from an Eved Ivri who's sold to a Yid, where he can buy back his freedom any time during the 6 years, but he still can't be a loiv of a goy of a goy lachatzar. Okay. Anyway, that answers the question. So the answer would be that yes, with an Eved Ivri, so with an Eved Ivri, Rosh Hashanah is saying that he can't be loiv of a goyel and he can't be goyel lahatzayin. Goyel lahatzayin means to redeem half of himself at a time. So say for example, an Eved Ivri is sold for 6 years to a Yid. So it would mean, in other words, let's say 2 years have passed. There's 4 years to go. And at this point let's say to begin with, he was sold for $6,000. So it's $1,000 per year. So now he's got $4,000 to go. Can he go over to his Odin and say, I don't have $4,000, but I do have $2,000. So let me give you $2,000 and I'll shave 2 years off my time. So I'll go free 2 years from now rather than four. So Rav Sheshis is saying that doesn't work. Now on the face of it, Rav Sheshis is talking about whether he was sold to a Goy or whether he was sold to a Yid. The Rambam learns our Gemara to be saying that with a Goy he could do that, with a Yid he can't.
Okay.
And then that led us into the discussion about related cases like that, about when a person sells his Sdei Achuzah, the field that he inherited from his ancestors in Eretz Yisrael, or where he's Makdish it, or where he sells it, or where he sells a house in a walled city, walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun. So there we said, in the end, as far as the house and the walled city, we said it's Machloikas Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, whether he can do that. And as far as the selling the Sdei Achuzah, he can't do that. There, the pasuk makes it very clear that he can't. And by Makdish, in the end, we said we would have thought that he couldn't either, and we have a pasuk that tells us that he could. So in short, by Eved Ivri, by Eved Ivri, Rav Sheshis is telling us it doesn't work. Although, according to the Rambam, it does work when he's sold to a Goy. When he sells his Sdei Achuzah, he can't do either of these things. When he's Makdish his Sdei Achuzah, he could do either of these things. And when it's a house in a walled city, it's a Machlokes Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, whether he could or not. Okay. Now, continues the Gemara. Bominir of Huna Bachinin and Rav Sheshis. Here's another question. Before we started that discussion with Rav Huna Bachinin asking Rav Sheshis, and now he's going to ask him another similar question. A person sells a house in a walled city. Nigal lakroivim or a nigal lakroivim? Can it be bought back by relatives or not? Meaning, if the original seller comes to the buyer and says, I want my house back, here's the money, during the year, the buyer has to give him back the house and take the money whether he likes it or not. So the pasuk says he has 1 year to buy it back. The question is, if he himself is not coming, if a relative of his is coming to do that, do we have the same thing where the relative can say, you have to sell me back this house, or can the buyer say, no, only you're not the one who sold it to me, it's none of your business. So the question is, ge'ulosei, ge'ulosei, misteachuzah gomar, do we make a gzeira shava on the word ge'ulosei from the selling misteachuzah? You have the word ge'ulosei by both of them, and therefore you'd learn ma sdei achuzah in nigelos v'chatzoyin v'nigelos v'kroyim. So a sdei achuzah, we said, can't be bought back by halves, but on the other hand, it could be bought by the relatives, because the pasuk says that the relatives should. The end of Sefer Rus tells an actual example of that. So Afhai Nami. So you would argue the same thing with the house in the walled city. Ein Nigalatzoin. You also can't buy it back by halves, according to the Chachamim we said before against Rav Shimon. But Nigal Lekrovim. The Nigal Lekrovim. But we would also learn from that Gzeira Shava. So the Chachamim, in other words, hold this Gzeira Shava between them, and they say that's why you can't buy it back by halves, because they learn a Gzeira Shava from selling a Sdei Achuza to selling a house in a walled city. So now, if we use that Zeru Shava, then that would mean that also the relatives could buy it, because just like the relatives can buy it, Sdei Achuza, it says so clearly in the pasuk, so they could buy back the house. Oidilma, ki ksiva ge'ula v'chatzoyin hodichtiv, maybe not. Maybe the word ge'ula in the pasuk is only referring to the fact that you can't buy it back by halves. When it says v'hisiga yado motzah kadei ge'ulasai, so that means he earns the money and he finds enough for his ge'ula, so therefore kadei ge'ulasai, he said, means the entire ge'ula, meaning not only half of it. So maybe therefore we would learn from that itself, from that context of the word ge'ulasai itself, that by the house, so we're saying it means kadei ge'ulasai, but maybe in other words we would say that is only talking about that din. Maybe the Gzeir Shabbat is not meant to teach us about the din of the relatives. So Omar Ein Nigal, so Rav Sheshes answers, it can't be redeemed by the relatives. If the relatives come and say we want to buy back the house, the guy who bought it has every right to say no. So Eisvei, so Rav Huna Bachina asks him, what about a Braisa says, Ovechol Ge'ula Titnu La'aretz, the Pasuk actually says, and Bechol Ge'ula Titnu, the Braisa is taking out words from the Pasuk. The whole Pasuk says, Ovechol Eretz Achuzaschem Ge'ula Titnu La'aretz, throughout all the land of your inheritance, you should give a Ge'ula for the land. So, but here, the point is the word b'chol means to add something. And it says ge'ula titnu, you should grant a ge'ula. So what does that mean? What is the b'chol adding? L'rabis batim ve'evet ivri. It comes to include houses, and it comes to include an evet ivri. That they can be bought back by the relatives. So my lav bote orechoima, shouldn't we assume that by houses we mean bote orechoima? So that would mean the relatives could come and buy it back, and the buyer has to sell it back to them. And the answer is not necessarily bote chatzerim. You could say there's another category that we haven't really dealt with yet, which is houses that are not in a walled city. Houses not in a walled city, there the rule is you can buy them back anytime you want. You have until Yovel, and if not, then you get them back in Yovel, unlike houses in a walled city. Meaning, in other words, the Gemara in Erchin summarizes it. It means that houses outside of a walled city have the advantages of a house and of a field. You can buy them back right away, unlike the field where you have to wait 2 years, but you get them back in Yovel, unlike the house in the walled city. Anyway, the point is that the word bechol, when it includes houses, so it could mean, Rav Sheshes says it means bote chatzedim. You don't need a pasuk for that. The Torah clearly says they're considered like the fields, and just like a field, we know the pasuk tells us the relatives can buy it back, so it should be also by the bote chatzedim. Why would you need the word bechol to include that if it's pretty clear? And the answer is ahu l'kovit chayva. The answer is that word bechol is coming to establish it as an absolute obligation on the relatives. In other words, you shouldn't just think the relatives could do it if they want to. It means they have to do it if they have the money. And that would be the way Rabbi Eliezer understands the pasuk. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the pasuk says, the pasuk describes a person is poor and he sells some of his field, and his relative comes to Go'al as Mimkar Achiv, and he redeems what his brother or relative sold. So that would mean reshus. That would mean, so far, that would only mean he could do that. After omer reshus, now you're saying that it means it's only optional for him, maybe it's an absolute obligation. Talmud Lomar, therefore, the pasuk continues, and the next pasuk, v'ish ki loy yia loy goyel. If a man does not have a goyel. Now, what does that mean? V'chi yesh onem Yisrael she'en le goyelim. Is there any person among the Jewish people who doesn't have goyalim? Now, the only goyal means a relative, and we know you have, for example, a relative can mean a close relative, it can be a further away one. But every born yid and the born Jews, after all, are the ones who get a share in Eretz Yisrael, which they inherit from their ancestors. Every born yid has goyalim because he has, if he doesn't have children of his own, he has a father, he has brothers. If his father and his brother, you know, you could go back to his grandfather, his great grandfather, etc. You go just like with Yerusha, you go throughout the generations. You may wind up that the closest relative to him, and you know, is a third cousin five times removed. But whatever the case, it's still a goyel. So every yid has a goyel. Which, by the way, I mean the Shittel Noidelami, one of the Perushim here on Masechta Kedushin, points out. You could construct a complicated scenario involving a ger, where let's say you have a ger, marries a ger, doesn't have relatives until he has children, because he's not related in halacha to his birth family, but you could have, let's say he marries a woman who inherited property, and then she dies, and he yarshins her, and therefore he has property of his own in Eretz Yisrael, but he says, you know, come on, you're going to assume the positive, it's talking about a rare case like that. So what does it mean that ein loy goyel zeshi yesh loy the ein loy to likach? It means he has a relative, but that relative doesn't want to buy it back. So the shus biyodei divir of Yeshua. So the Yeshua says the pasuk is implying that he has the ability to do that. He has the ability to refuse to buy back that property. So therefore, in other words, he would say, Tosfos Reed explains, what would he do with the word b'chol? He would say it means if the relative does want to buy it back, then the buyer can't say, sorry, I have no business with you. He has to say, look, I understand you're his relative, therefore I'm obligated to sell it back to you, but not that the relative himself is required to do that. That's what Rabbi Yeshua says. Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, no, regardless, Mimka Achiv Choiva. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it means it establishes it as an obligation on the relative. And he goes through the same argument, Ata Oyma Choiva En El Rishus. Maybe not, maybe it means optional, like you, Rabbi Yeshua, are saying, Tamad Lama B'chol Ge'ula Titnu. Therefore, the passage says, in all, B'chol Eretz Achuzaskam, Ge'ula Titnu, you should make a Ge'ula, you should provide a Ge'ula, meaning a cost of Kavai Choiva. The passage is stressing it as the pasuk is making it an obligation. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, the word b'chol is making it an obligation on the relative to go and buy it back. So according to him, you have like this. When it comes to Bate Hatzerim, when it comes to a house in an unwalled city, we know the Torah tells us it's considered like a field, and that would mean that a relative could buy it back. So now the word Bechol tells us not just that the relative could, but that he has to buy it back if he has the money. So that would be what you need the word b'chol for, but not necessarily that's including houses in walled cities. Maybe a house in a walled city is different, Rav Sheshis is saying, and there the relative does not have the ability to buy it back. So the Chachamim said to Rav Ashi, v'amila Ravina le Rav Ashi, others say specifically Ravina asked Rav Ashi, now let's talk about these opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, where again, Rabbi Eliezer is saying the relatives are obligated to buy it back if they can, and Rabbi Yeshua said they had the field or the house in the unwalled city, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, they could if they want to, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, they have to. Well, b'shleim l'man d'omer l'rabbis bote orei choyma. I understand, according to the opinion, that we're including bote orei choyma, if you argue, not like Rav Sheshis, that the word b'chol comes to include bote orei choyma, hainu d'chtib b'chol. Well, that would explain the type of why the Torah uses the word b'chol in all. El l'man d'omer l'rabbis bote chatzerim. But if you're telling me, like Rabbi Eliezer. And by the way, the Gemara hasn't specified who it is who holds that way. All we're saying is Rav Sheshis had said it's not like that. The Ramban, I think it is, understand that Rabbi Yeshua would understand the pasuk that way. Given that Rabbi Yeshua, on the face of it, doesn't need a whole word b'chol just to teach us that the relatives could do it if they want to, and only like the Tosfos Reed says to say that the buyer can't prevent them from taking it. So he might say that the b'chol is including bati orichayim. So according to that opinion, then you can understand why Taka needs to say b'chol. El olamando amalodavis bote chatzedim. But if you're telling me that it's only to include bote chatzedim, my b'chol, why does it even need to say the word b'chol? All it needs to say is geula titnu la'aretz. And then we would understand from that 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 it means according to Rebbe Eliezer, then it would mean that you're required, that the relatives are required to buy it back, and that would automatically include Batei Chatzer. So the Gemara says Kasha, you're right, it's a Kasha on that opinion. Now a Kasha is not a Tzuvta, it doesn't mean we've schlugged it up, it just means we have a question that still needs to be answered. Now Tosfos points out, why don't we say, according to that opinion, Bechol comes to include an Eved Ivri. And the answer is, we're going to assume that the Pasuk, since it's talking about land, is going to teach us something about redeeming land or some kind of real estate, whereas an Eved Ivri is not real estate. With that said, the Reb David Pardo, who we quoted earlier, says, that maybe that's why the Gemara leaves it only as a kasha, because you could use that as an answer. It's true, it's not the best possible answer, but it is an answer. You could say, according to that opinion, Bechol is not coming to include houses, but rather it's coming to include an Eved Ivri. Okay. So therefore, the point is we don't have a proof yet whether when it comes to Batei Ori Choyma, whether the relatives can or can't buy it back. Rav Sheshes was saying that not. We tried to bring this Braisa, but we're saying not necessarily does this Braisa bail on it. Because maybe the Braisa is talking about Batei HaChatzerim, and Rav Eliezer would say, it makes it a Choyva, and according to Rav Yeshua, fine, we could deal with what Rav Yeshua holds exactly. But anyway, Esve Abaya. So then Abaya says to Rav Sheshes, I have another contradiction against him. A Braisa says, Ma tamad lemi yigolenu, 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 gimel pamin. Three times, when it comes to an Eved Ivri who was sold to a Goy, three times the Torah uses the word yigolenu. He shall redeem him. The Pasuk says, Echad me echad yigolenu. One of his relatives shall redeem him. Then in the next Pasuk continues, Oy doidoy, oy ben doidoy yigolenu. Either his uncle or his cousin shall redeem him. And by the way, Balaturim on that pasuk points out that the word doidoi is also the same letters as David. So it's hinting that David or Ben David, Yigalenu, will redeem us from Galus. Anyway, then the pasuk continues, The third one is, Oy Mish'er B'sorei Mimishpachta Yigalenu, or any relative of his from his family will redeem him.
What did you see there?
The psukim. You have them, some Gemaras have them on the sun. Anyway, so you have three times it says Yigolenu. So Matam Alemi Yigolenu 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 Gimel Pamin. Why does it repeat that three times? Lurabis Kol Geulus Shinig Geulus Kaseder Azeh. The Braisa tells us that comes to include all Geulus. Whenever there's something that needs to be redeemed, means you have the same Seder. That they can be, so on the face of it, that's the Seder, means they can be redeemed by relatives. Now, what are the three cases? Maila, Bati, Orechoima, the Eved Ivri. So on the face of it, that comes to include also the Bati, Orechoima, and also the Eved Ivri who was sold to a Yid. So even though the Pasuk doesn't specify that relatives can redeem them, nevertheless, from these extra Yigolenus, we would learn that yes. And the answer is lying. Again, not necessarily, says Rav Sheshes, Batei Chatzerim Usdei Achuza. Maybe the Pasuk is only including houses in unwalled city and Usdei Achuza, a field that you inherited from your ancestors. Well, again, the question is, Batei Chatzerim Usdei Achuza, Behed Yaksiv Bahu, Behed Yaksiv Asdei Aretz Yechashiv. The Pasuk clearly says they're considered part of the fields, and since the fields already, the Torah tells us clearly that your relatives can buy it back for you, so obviously it would be the same with Batei Chatzerim. You don't need a Pasuk to tell us that. And the answer is, Kid Omer of Nachman Yitzchok, Lakarev, Karev Chodim, just like in a different context that we're going to discuss soon, that Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, the Pasuk is telling you the closer relative comes first. Hochanami, the same thing over here. Maybe the Yigalenu, when it says Kaseder Azeh, doesn't mean the basic fact that relatives can do it. It means the closer relative has the first right to do it. For example, just like by the Eved Ivri sold to a Goy, where the Pasuk says, Oy doidoy, oy ben doidoy yigalenu. Either his uncle or his cousin, because the uncle is a closer relative than the cousin, because you only have one degree of separation between them. Your uncle is your father's brother, as opposed to your cousin is your father's brother's son. So it's you have to do that extra step.
It's a priority.
So they right. So in other words, the priority goes to the closer ones. So Hochinami, Lakarev Koidim, the same thing over here. Maybe Kaseder Azeh just means the closer relative comes ahead of the further away relative. So therefore, so the Yigalenus, so Tosfos summarizes the Yigalenus, one of them tells us the basic fact that that you can be goyel. A second one is karev kodim, and the third one, as the Gemara is going to go on to discuss now, is to say that this applies only when he's sold to a goy, not when he's sold to a yid. The Rashba, by the way, learns from this when we say a karev kodim doesn't just mean that the earlier relative has priority. It actually means the Rashba learns what happens, for example, if the uncle is poor and the cousin is rich. What you would think, look, the cousin has money, therefore he should come first. Note, the Pasuk is saying as long as there is an uncle, he has precedence. If he can do the job and redeem his relative, then good. And if not, then there's no obligation to do it.
It goes to the cousin.
It doesn't go to the cousin. That's what the Rashba learns. A karev kodim means essentially as long as there is a closer relative exists, then he has the priority. Even if he can't ask you for it.
If he can't do it, then why not offer it to the cousin after?
If the cousin wants to do it, because I'm to hate, but the cousin isn't required to.
It was not called on.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So the Gemara says, Heicha itmar durav nachma yitzchak. Okay. So then fine. We can say that maybe that's what the Braisa means when it says kaseder azeh. Doesn't mean the fact that a korev can redeem the bote or echoma. Maybe it only means that within the cases where we know that a relative can do it, for example, Sdei Achuza, or Eved Ivri sold to a goy, then the closer relative comes first. So, Heicha Itma de Rav Nachman Yitzchak. What is the context in which the statement of Rav Nachman Yitzchak was said in the first place? So, like this, aha, it was on the following. We have the question, Eved Ivri Animka Yisrael. What if an Eved Ivri is sold to a Jew? Nigal Lekrovim, a Nigal Lekrovim. Can he be bought back by his relatives? Or not. Again, obviously, if the master wants to, he can do whatever he wants. But we're talking about if the master doesn't want. He says, I like this Eved, I want to keep him on. I paid good money for him. Don't tell me that you guys are going to come and offer money for me, for him. I don't care about the money, I want to keep him. So,
we just discussed it now with Achuzah.
So, stay Achuzah, he doesn't have the right to do that. With an Eved Ivri, maybe he does. That's the question. Now, the Gemara says, I'll live with the Rebbe Leiti Boiloch. Now, if you're going within Rebbe's opinion, then there's no question, because earlier, a few blocks earlier, when we first started talking about Eved Ivri, there was an expression Rebbe had said in a Braisa that the Pasuk says about an Eved Ivri sold to a goy, the expression is im lo yigoyl ba'ela. If he's not redeemed with these, meaning his relatives, then he goes out and goyel. So Rebbe had learned from that Pasuk, misha in a nigoyl ba'ela, Nigal Bashesh, somebody who cannot be redeemed by these, by relatives, is redeemed in 6 years. So Rebbe had actually used that as the basis for a Kal V'Chomer to say that if he's sold to a goy, also the maximum length of term should be 6 years. And when the Pasuk mentions Yovel, it means only if Yovel comes out in the years between. So Rebbe had said, you make that Kal V'Chomer, because he had, and the basis for his Kal V'Chomer had been the fact that a yid who's sold to another yid cannot be redeemed by Krovim. So according to him, there's no question. Obviously, then can't, because he's using that as the basis for his Kavachem.
Yovel's only near sons.
What?
Yovel for a bit.
No, that's, no. So what Rebbe, So what Rebbe had said over there is like this. When it comes to an Eved Ivri sold to a yid, usually he's sold for 6 years, and he goes free in the sixth year, at the end of the sixth year, unless he says a havti, etc. Now, Rebbe uses that as a bait. Now, he says, on the other hand, we know this one who's sold to a yid cannot be bought back by his relatives. So then he says, a Kal V'Chomer, that when he's sold to a goy, where we have even a leniency on him, where he could be bought back by his relatives, how much more so that when he's sold to begin with, it should be for a maximum of 6 years.
Okay.
So obviously, according to Rebbe, look, so Alma, loy Mifrak, so you see clearly, according to Rebbe, he can't be bought back by his relatives.
Mifrak
means to be redeemed. Like purkan, purkan means a redemption or a salvation. So yeah. So kiti boylach a little bit abon. So the question would be, according to the Chachamim who disagree with Rebbe, they don't learn that Kal V'Chomer, and they say when a yid is sold to a goy, then he works for him always until yoyim. So according to them, the question is, my yafin and socher, do we learn the gzeda shava on the word socher, that we learn between one sold to a goy and one sold to a yid, and therefore that would be, so therefore we would learn that either one of them could be bought back by the relatives, v'loy darshi yugolenu, so they don't learn the miut from the word yugolenu, that the word Yigalenu, you should redeem him, is a miut, which implies only him, but not another case. So we would say then it would apply only to only when he's sold to a goy and not to a yid. So if we say they hold of Zeta Shava and they don't hold of that miut and the word Yigalenu, then it would mean the same din would apply whether he's sold to a yid or a goy. Maybe the Yigalenu is a miut. And it comes to exclude the case where he sold to a yid. So we would still say the Gzeira Shava, Sacher, but we would use it for other purposes, as the Gemara has been using it throughout the last few dafim, rather than to teach us, rather this particular din, we would say is an exception. And if he sold to a yid, we wouldn't allow the relatives to come and buy him back. So that's the question. So in fact, the Pnei Yeshua discusses, he says, earlier, when the Gemara first brought up this Gzeira Shava of Sacher, several blocks ago on Daf Tesvav, so the Gemara asks, in Rebbe's opinion, is it that he holds that Gzeira Shava or not, or is it because he's learning Yigalenu? So now the Gemara is bringing both possibilities, in effect. Do we learn the Gzeira Shava and we don't learn Yigalenu, or do we not learn the Gzeira Shava and we do learn Yigalenu? So that's the question. So Gemara says, Tashma, let's try to prove. A Braisa says, again, the Braisa we brought before says, We said in all of the land, Geula Titnu La'aretz, and the word B'chol means the Rabbis Batim the Ebedevi. It comes to include houses, and it comes to include an Ebedevi. And what are we, so my lab, Bati Arichayim of the Ebedevi, now Nimka the Israel. Doesn't that mean that we're adding Bati Orechoima, which we argued before, that it should mean that it applies to that, and it should apply also to an Eved Ivri sold to a Jew, and therefore the Pasuk is telling us that Geula Titnu, that there you also have the din that the relatives can buy back. And the answer is like, not necessarily. You could say, with the houses, we said before, it could mean Bati Achatzeirim. When it comes to the Eved Ivri, it could mean an Eved Ivri sold to a goy. Well, the question is, again, the pasuk clearly says, his uncle or his cousin or whatever other relative can redeem him. And the answer is, that pasuk is coming to tell, the b'chol is coming to make an obligation on the relatives to redeem him. And that would be even according to Rabbi Yeshua. Even Rabbi Yeshua, we said by Sdei Achuzah, it's up to the relatives whether they want to or not. Here you have a different consideration. You don't want this yid, you don't want this Eved Ivri to assimilate among the goyim if he stays there too long. So therefore here even Rabbi Yeshua is going to agree that it's a choiva, that it's an absolute obligation on the relatives to redeem him. Right. Right. So that would be, but not necessarily is it coming to include where he's sold to a yid, where you don't have that problem of Shema Yitama that he might assimilate. So maybe therefore we would say that the Bechol is not coming to include that.
How could they even think of having a yid sold to a goy?
Well, the yid can sell himself. The yid can sell himself to the goy. We learned about that yesterday. That he might feel himself in some desperate straits that he has no choice but to sell.
Not kosher food and all this stuff.
He'll have to make sure. He'll have to arrange with the master, of course, that he'll eat kosher food. Rashi, in fact, mentions at the end of Parshas Behar over there that the Yid shouldn't say, look, since my master worships Avodah Zarah and breaks Shabbos and whatnot, therefore I can do the same. And that's why at the end of that Parsha, at the end of Parshas Behar, the Torah stresses don't worship idols and keep Shabbos and so forth. The fact is that we learned yesterday, the Gemara had said that you would think once he went down and sold himself so far, maybe we should say the heck with him, we give up on him. Nope, we have to work to schlep him out of there as soon as possible. So again, the point is the word b'chol, even according to Rabbi Yeshua, who says that by the houses in unwalled cities or by the fields, it's only reshus. Here he would agree that it's choiva, and the b'chol would come to teach us that. So not necessarily do we have a basis for saying that it should apply when an Eved Ivri is sold to a yid.
And in fact, Tosfos asks on that based on the previous Gemara that then we have in effect the two Bechols are not really the Bechol is really teaching us two different things. First, we have by Bati or Echoima, we're not saying that it makes it a Choiva, that it makes it an obligation. By the Eved Ivri, it's making it a Choiva. So we should have said that by Bati Achatzerim and by Eved Ivri sold to a Goy, it's a Choiva, and then it would be at least Rabbi Yeshua would have that it's adding the same kind of Choiva in both places. So Tosfos asks the question and leaves it open. A couple of Achronim talk about possible answers to it. Anyway, continues the Gemara. Toshma, let's try to bring another proof again for this question of whether an Eved Ivri is sold to another Yid, whether there's an obligation on the relative, whether the relatives can redeem him. So Toshma, we learn in a Braisa, like we said before, you go lenu, sholosh pamim, the same Braisa we brought before. Why does it say you go lenu three times? The rabbis call a geulas shenig olas kaseder azeh, comes to include all geulas that they go according to this order. My lab, bote orichem of Eved Ivri anim kol Yisrael. Shouldn't we assume that when we say kol geulas includes houses in walled cities and includes an Eved Ivri sold to a Yid? And the answer is lying, not necessarily. Like we answered before, maybe it's only coming to include houses in unwalled cities and fields that you inherited from your ancestors.
Yeah, we said that
already. Tashma, Atoshma, you were matamalin, you galani, shalosh bamin. The rabbis, fala gaulas, shining gaulas, kaseder azeh, comes to include all gaulas, anything that needs to be redeemed, we go according to this order.
Where
this order. This order, Mephashtos, means relatives. So then, my lab, or Bote Orechem of Eved Ivri Anim Kol Yisrael. Shouldn't we assume that it includes those cases? And the answer is, loy, Bote Chatzerim, Mosdeachos, and not necessarily, it may come to include houses in unwalled cities and Sdeachos. Again, the question is, Bote Chatzerim, Behed Yaksibahu, Al Sdeha Oretzichoshiv. The Pasuk clearly says they belong together with the fields, and therefore they have the same rules as fields. And again, Amr of Nachman Yitzchak, Korev Koidim, here is the original context where Rav Nachman Yitzchak had said that the Pasuk is telling you the closer relative has the greater obligation to do it. So now, again, we have three Yigolanus, one to tell us that there can be a redemption b'chlal, one about Bote Chatzedim and Tzedei Achuza, and one Lazev Lo'ilachar, so the third one would tell us it applies only where he's sold to a Goy, not where he's sold to a Yid. So that would be the final answer, that when he's sold to a Yid, you don't have the concept of the relatives redeeming him. Obviously, if the master wants to accept the money, goes on to hate, but he's not obligated to unless the Eved himself comes with the money. Okay. Now, continuing with the next thing in the Mishnah, we said, we said that an Eved whose ear was pierced, we said after the 6th year, and he said at the end of the 6th year, etc., then he gets acquired for the rest of the time until Yovel by piercing his ear. And the Gemara says, because the Pasuk says, the Rotsa Adonai was Ozne Bamatzei Avogemer, his master should pierce his ear with an awl, and Vavode La'olam, and then he works for him, and La'olam meaning until Yovel. So we see from that, if the Ritzia itself, that makes him his Eved for the rest of the time. And the Mishnah continued, the Konas Atla, the Yovel of Mrs. Adin, the Eved Ivri, whose ear was pierced, acquires himself, meaning becomes free, with Yovel, not with 6 years anymore, only with Yovel, or when the Adin dies. Now, before we learned that with an Eved Ivri who's working for 6 years, he doesn't always go free when the Odin dies, because if the Odin left a son, then he continues working for him. But by an Eved Ivri by a Nirtza, it's not like that. So, Dikhtir Va'avodoy, the Pasuk says, he shall serve him. So the Va'avodoy, the Vav is a mute, the Loyas HaBen, the Loyas HaBas, meaning he doesn't work for the son or the daughter of the master, and La'olam means La'olam Shal Yovel, means not forever, it just means until the next Yovel. One point, we learned about this the other day, when Mephoshim point out, I think the Evan Ezra points out that the longest period of time that has any significance in halacha is a yovel. There is a yovel. Therefore, that's why la'olam can mean a yovel rather than meaning literally forever.
50 years.
50 years, yeah. Okay. So now let's talk about the dinim of Ritzia. You have the Torah tells us that he pierces his ear with Marseya. So let's get into the details of that. Tanarabon. Marseya, now when the Pasuk says an awl, now an awl is a tool that you use for making holes in leather. You're making, for example, leather shoes, so you use an awl to pierce the leather so you can sew them. So Ein li ela marzeya. If you only had that, you would know specifically you have to use an all. Minayin l'rabes hasoil. How do we know that you can also include that you can also use a soil which is a sharpened piece of wood, vasira, or a thorn, a sharp thorn, vahamachat, or needle, vahamachgeach, or drill, vahamachtev, or stylus, like you use a metal stylus that you use for writing, for example, on a wax tablet. You use a stylus to scratch out the letters. So how do we know you can use any of those? They all have a sharp point. Tamad lema v'lakachta, therefore the pasuk says in a different place in Parashas Re'eh, when it mentions this din again, it says you should take. L'rabis called davash nikach biyad, that comes to include anything that you can take in your hand. That would be kosher. Dibir Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that's how Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says no. Ma martzeya miyuchad shel matzes. What is special about a martzeya? It's made out of metal. Af kol shel matzes. Therefore, you have to use something of metal. So I agree. Rebbe says you could use a needle, which is made out of metal, or a drill, etc. But you can't use a sharpened piece of wood or a thorn because they're not metal. And we're going to explain soon why it is that they disagree. Dover Acha, another explanation, Hamartseya, Lahobi Hamartseya Hagodo. When it says Hamartseya, then it comes to include that you can use a very large awl, the kind that makes very large holes. A couple of Mephoshim discuss details why we need to say that. I mean, once it says you can use an awl, who cares what size? One point is, we're going to discuss soon the question whether the Ritzia makes the Koyan, whether it makes him a Balmum, and that's going to be relevant if he's a Koyan. Can you do it? Now, one thing is, the Gemara in Bechoras mentions that you need a certain minimum size hole for it to be a mum, the size of kashina, the size of a type of bean. So therefore, the chiddush is over here, even though this kind of drill makes a very large hole, not drill, hole, this kind of hole makes a very large hole like that, the size of the size of this type of bean, nevertheless, you could use it. Anyway, so with that said, there are other gyusos that take out that, whatever, anyway. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Elazar, Yudan Biribi Hayadurish. Yudan Biribi. Biribi means the great one of the generation. Hayadurish used to douse him like this. Kishahein Roitzin, when you do the Ritzia, what part of the ear is it done in? Ein Roitzin Ela B'milsa. You do it only in the soft part of the ear, the earlobe. B'cham Omim, where is the Chum saying no? Ein Evet, we know that Ein Evet Ivri Koyen Nirtzim Pneisha Nasa Balmum, and Evet Ivri was a Koyen cannot have his ear pierced because thereby he would become a Balmum, and we're going to see soon what's the problem if he becomes a Balmum. The Im Toma of the Milsa, so Rav Elazar points out that if the Chachamim agreed with Yudan Biribi that you did it in the earlobe, Heim Roitzim, that they do the Ritzia over there, Heich Evet Ivri Koyen, he also Balmum, how would he become a Balmum? It's not considered a mum if there's a hole in the earlobe, no matter how large that hole is. So therefore, obviously, according to the Chachamim, it must mean that the Ritzia takes place in the top part of the ear, in the cartilage. So therefore, that would make him a Baal Mum, and therefore they're arguing with Koyin, you can't do that. Now, on the face of it, therefore, on the face of it, Yudan Biribi is saying there's no problem to do Ritzia for a Koyin, for an Evet Ivri who is a Koyin. On the other hand, the Shita Lainoy de Lami points out that maybe not. Maybe both of them would agree that you can't do it to a Koyin, but for different reasons. The Chachamim would say because it would make him a Baal Mum, and as the Gemara is going to explain soon, that would be a problem. And according to Yudan Biribi, as the Gemara is going to mention soon, maybe he's not allowed to begin with to have a Shikha Knanis, and therefore there's no possibility of him saying, Ahav Dias Adoni, As Ishti, etc. Maybe Yudan Biribi holds that way, and therefore he would say, a Koyin doesn't get Ritzia, not because it would make him a Baal Mum, because he holds you're doing it in the earlobe anyway, but because there's no case where he's going to end up being in a position of Ritzia, because how could he say, Ahav Dias Adoni, if he doesn't have a Shifra Knanis and children from her, because he's also in the first place. And the Rebbe's father, actually, I believe Yitzhak, has a long Kabbalistic explanation of further down, a piece a little further down in the Gemara in connection with this, and he mentions this point as well, that we could say that Shmuel, who we're going to say soon, says that a Koyan is not allowed to have the Shifra Knanis. Maybe he agrees with Yudan Biribi, and he says therefore the Koyan is never going to be in a position of getting his ear pierced.
Right. That's us
right.
Was just.
So you're right. Okay. So the Gemara says, "B'mai tumit."
But he's yeah. Tumur.
What? So b'mai tumit. What is the underlying machlokas between? What is the underlying machlokas about between Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rebbe about what we can use? Whether according to Rebbe, you can only use something metal, according to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, you can use anything sharp. So the Rebbe, Darish Kol Yoprati, Rebbe Davishin Pesukim as a klal of prat. The Lakachta klal, when it says you should take as a klal, because you can pick up anything. Marseya prat, when it says Marseya as a prat, that it means specifically only an O. When it continues, but Osni of Adelis, when it says you put it in his ear and in the door, Chaz of a kol, that's another klal, because again, it means anything that you could stick through his ear and into the door. So ma prat, klal of prat, klal, iat don elakena prat. Ma prat mekudesh, just like the prat is specified shal matkes, that it's made out of metal. Akol shal matkes, the same way anything else you're going to use has to be made out of metal. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda is going to learn the same words with a ribuy umiyot. The difference is a klal of prat, a klal means basically we take the prat and we make a class of things that are similar to the prat. So they have to be similar to it in order for them to be included. As opposed to ribuy umiyot basically means we're going to end up including everything. All we're going to do is we're going to remove one thing that is the least similar to the one mentioned in the pasuk. We have a number of places in Shas where you have similar machlokas in between Rebbe and Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. So he says, v'lakachta riba, you have a ribuy from the word v'lakachta, marseya miyot, the word marseya is a miyot because it would mean only one thing, v'ozmi of adelas chozer riba, ribo miyot v'riba, riba hakol. So it includes everything. My Rabbi, Rabbi Komili. So what are we including? Ultimately, we're including everything that you can use for piercing, including wood. My Miet, what is the one thing that we have to exclude? Miet Sam, we're excluding a potion. If you have, for example, like an acid or some other strong kind of thing like that, that would make a hole, then Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda would agree you can't use that. You can't pour some kind of acid or cream or whatever that would be strong enough to pierce a hole through the ear. But anything else that actually makes a hole, he would say is fine. Okay. We said, Omer Mar Hamartseya Lahovi Martseya Hagodor. We said the word Hamartseya comes to include a big Martseya. So my Mashma, where exactly do we see that the word Hamartseya includes a big one? So the answer is, Kid Omer Rava, just like we find Rava saying in connection with Gid Anosha, you have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda over there says that it applies only to the right leg because Rabbi Yehuda says Ha Yorich, when it says the Gid Anosha, which is Asher Akap Ha Yorich, Ham Yumenes Shabi Yorich. Means the stronger, the more important one among the five, Hochanami, Hamartseya, Miyuchot Shemamartsein, the same way Hamartseya would mean the special one among the Martsein, the big one. So, continuing on this topic of the Kohen, so we said, Omer Abelazah Yudan Beribi Hoyadurish Chain Roitzin and Roitzin Adam Milsa. We said that Yudan Beribi said you do the Ritzia only in the earlobe. Chomem Ein Evid Iri Koyin Nirtzim Nation Asa Balmum. So the question is, Vyasa Balmum. So what? He becomes a Balmum. Who cares? Omer Rabbi Shiva. Omer Kru. No. Because the pasuk is Vishrov Al Mishpachtei. He shall return to his family. That means the Muchzak Shiva Mishpachtei. He has to be able to return to the Chazaka of his family. So if a Kohen becomes a Baal Mum, he doesn't, because now he can't return to his family's chazaka anymore, because he can't serve in the Bais Mikdash. In fact, Tosfos in Bechoras points out, based on a Gemara over there, that in principle you could make a small hole and that wouldn't make him a Baal Mum. But one point is, Tosfos says over there, first of all, when one point is, it'll make him at least a temporary Baal Mum, and you can't even make a temporary Baal Mum, you have to make it that immediately, as soon as this is done, in principle you should be able to work in the Bais Mikdash again. Okay. So now, Iboy Lahu, so now we have a related question. Evid Ivri Koyan, Maoshi Yimsa Le Rabba Shifcha Knanis. If the Evid Ivri is a Koyan, can his master give him a Shifcha Knanis to have children with her? Do we say Chidushu? After all, the whole din is a Chidush, because usually a Yid would be also to have relations with a Shifcha Knanis. So Loishna Koyan and Loishna Yisrael, wouldn't matter whether he's a Koyan or Yisrael. Oy Duma, Shiny Koyan, Imhohu Riva Bahana Kosin, Mitzvah Siseris. Maybe a Koyan is different, because the Torah added extra mitzvahs to them, that they're also in a Grusha, and so on, a Halala, and so forth. So maybe. So the answer is Rab Amma Mutter, Shmuel Amma Osu. So Rab says it's allowed, Shmuel says it's not. Omele Rav Nachman and Rav Onan. So now, in a later generation, Rav Nachman, not in a later generation, Talmidim, whatever, Rav Nachman says to Rav Onan, Ki Havesu Bei Mar Shmuel, when you were in the yeshiva of Mar Shmuel, and you heard this din from him, the Iskumderi Italitu. You must have been playing with Iskumderi. Rashi says iskundri means, in other words, you weren't paying attention. You were just like, as if like you were playing games. Rashi brings that iskundri is like chips of wood, so like checkers or something. The Oruch brings a couple of other explanations. One of them is that iskundri means small dogs. Another one he says is like a game that kids play involving pieces involving broken pieces of earthenware where they count up to 30 with them. Whatever. The point is, Rav Nachman is saying to Rav Anan, you didn't pay attention. If you had paid attention, my time, why didn't you answer? Why didn't you ask Shmuel? How could you say he's also in a shift of Knanis? We said, and every Koyan can't get his ear pierced because he'll become a Baal Mum. What do you mean? Anyway, the Imtoma in Rabbi most of the Shifra Knanis. If you Shmuel are saying anyway he can't have a Shifra Knanis, typically then you have a good reason why he can't be Nirtza because he's never in the position. Because he has to be able to say, I love my master, my wife, meaning my Shifra Knanis, and her children. Veleka, and here, according to your opinion, he would never have a Shifra Knanis in the first place. So the Gemara says, Tulei Midi, you're right, there's no possible answer to that. So therefore, according to Shmuel, it's very clear that if we say that a Koyin is also in a Shifra Knanis, of necessity, he's never getting his ear pierced. And in fact, again, the Shita, Loinoi de Lami, points out that it may be that Shmuel agrees with the position before, that a Koyin wouldn't get Ritzia for a different reason, because it would make him a Balmon. Not because it would make him a Baal Mum, rather, but because he would hold that, yes, it wouldn't make him a Baal Mum, but he's taken not in a position to do it in the first place. Just to finish off, the Rebbe's father has a very long, fascinating explanation, Al Pi Kabbalah, of this Gemara over here. And he says, why of all things, many, many questions, but among others, why is he using this expression instead of Nachman, you were playing with checkers or small dogs or whatever. What does that have to do with anything? And he has a long explanation that the Eved Ivri represents Malach, and the higher level represents Malach Matat, and the concept of him being Mutter in a Shifcha Knanis refers to the relationship of Matat to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah is called the Shifcha, the word Knanis, even as Gematria is 600, representing the 600 Sidorim and Bishnayas that we find that they used to have. So it has to do with that. And sort of Nachman is telling Rav Onan that you were busy with moichin de katnus. You were busy with the juvenile kind of moichin, which therefore, and he explains in great detail how, whether you're talking about checkers, whether you're talking about small dogs, whether you're talking about this kid's game involving broken pieces of earthenware, all of them he explains in great detail how they have to do with moichin de katnus, and why were you doing that instead of graduating to Moichin de Gadlus and pointing out to Shmuel that the Koyin, being from Chesed, has no business with the Shifcha Knanis, which is an aspect of Gvura. And he explained how Rav Nachman himself represents Gvura and Rav Onan represents Chesed, and therefore Rav Onan should have been the one to point this out, and so on and so forth. He has a tremendous arichus, very, very fascinating. Shkoyach, everyone.